My dear friends in Christ, try to recall, if you would, a time in your life where you eagerly anticipated something. For myself, I remember being about 6 or 7 years old, and it was a tradition in our family, sometime around when we turned 7, we would get to go on a trip to our grandparents' house. And we grew up in Colorado, and grandparents lived in California. So this was a really big deal. And I suppose not all that long ago, but the world seemed a little safer, so we got to go on a solo flight from Colorado to California and spend a whole week with Grandma and Grandpa and probably go to Disneyland and just be spoiled as only grandparents know how to spoil. And so as you would imagine, in the mind of a five and a six-year-old, this was, you couldn't possibly anticipate anymore. It was the be-all, end-all. Counted the days until this was going to happen. And I remember such an interesting feeling. Can recall how it felt, even as a young child. Kind of that contradiction, being pulled between two emotions of the anguish of not yet being at Grandma and Grandpa's, and yet the excitement, this pull between happiness and suffering, anguish and excitement. It's really quite a thing to anticipate a coming joy. But as excited as we can imagine, I'm sure that this has happened many, many times in our lives with different things and in different ways, try to imagine, if you could, the excitement of God's chosen people for the coming of the Savior of the world. That this is not some short-lived trip to a grandparent's house or the acquisition of some earthly thing. This is centuries of longing, centuries, and for a good that can hardly be comprehended, the salvation of an entire nation, the Savior who would set his people free, loose the people from the bonds of sin, raise them up, open the gates of heaven. Now imagine, if you can, another anticipation. The excitement of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is an anticipation that makes the combined excitement and anticipation of the chosen people pale in comparison. Because our Blessed Mother knows this is not some prophet. This is not some unknown Savior. This is indeed God Himself. What anticipation that she, in her humility, would soon bring forth the rod of Jesse, the destroyer of the serpent, the savior of mankind. In just a few hours, tomorrow, we will celebrate one of the greatest feasts of the church, one of the most joyful feasts. And in the Mass for today, the vigil, it's rather amazing. We still wear the violet vestments. We don't see the flowers upon the altar. It's still technically a season of penance and preparation. But how beautiful to hear in the Mass the joy. Lift up your gates, O ye princes, and be ye lifted up, eternal gates, and the King of glory shall enter in, says the offertory verse. The communion, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that we may begin a new life with this festival of the Nativity of thine only begotten Son, who in these mysteries feeds us with the meat and drink of that life which is eternal, beautiful, joyous words. And so with anticipation, there's a few things that we must consider. When we are looking forward to something in life, unfortunately, it is always going to be twinged. It's going to have some manner of sorrow mixed in. So even if the object of all of our anticipation lives up to that anticipation, which we have to be honest, very often it does not. Sometimes the anticipation is greater than the actual fruition. We might argue, I'm sure some agree, that after all, Friday afternoon after school or after work might even be better than Saturday. We're so excited for the weekend, and then come Sunday evening, we're like, oh, Monday. That anticipation is quite the thing. But again, maybe we're working something up too much. How often have we been hyped up about a thing? Our friend tells us about a movie or something that's the best they've ever seen in their entire life, and we go and see it, and it's like, that was disappointing. Or, like I said, if it lives up to the expectation, we might have to come to the realization, well, we must come to the realization that it will end. That trip to Grandma and Grandpa's house, yes, fantastic, but it's going to be over. Have to go back to home, get back to the chores and dealing with the siblings and regular life. So there's always going to be some admixture of sorrow. Not so with the object of this anticipation, because the object of our anticipation, the same as our Blessed Mother's, it is Christ our Lord, who cannot disappoint, whose goodness and perfection can never end. But what is the essential aspect to this fruition? How can we really have this accomplishment or fulfillment of our expectation? But we have to work at it, and we have to seek Him. We cannot be indifferent. We think maybe of Herod, who was rather wicked to start, and his interaction with the wise men. The wise men came from country far. They sought a king. They really put effort, labor, an incredible journey to find this king. They meet Herod, who happens to live right nearby, was oblivious. He tells them to send him word, tell him where he can find this king. And we know, of course, his intention was evil. He did not seek a king, he sought himself. And we know his end was nothing but misery. But look at the wise men who sought Jesus. Seek and ye shall find, our Lord tells us. And so we have to seek out Christ. Not just wait idly by, but make this goal, this object of all of our excitement and anticipation, also the object of all of our work, all of our action. Make our daily goal to know Christ better, to find him wherever we can. Remember that it is in our daily duties, those little things that might not seem so important, we have the opportunity to find him. Again, think of our Blessed Mother. How in the simplest of her occupations, in the sweeping of the floor, the mending of garments, the cooking of meals, she was always thinking of him. In the Gospel, according to St. Luke, two times, St. Luke records of our Blessed Mother, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. As if to say that she had no other thought but Christ her Lord, Christ her Son. My dear friends in Christ, let us beg our Blessed Mother. Help us to make Jesus the object of all of our longing, to have this true spiritual excitement, to be overwhelmed with joy that it is our lot to be there at Bethlehem, to be here at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to receive him in Holy Communion. We cannot comprehend a more beautiful thing. Though I hope and pray we all have a very blessed Christmas. And again, as the post-communion for this Mass says, let us begin a new life with this festival of the Nativity. We know that God's grace will be there. Let us make sure that our dispositions are as perfect as they can be, as close as possible to the dispositions of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.